That's it. All right, take your Bible to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 16. Turn quickly there if you will, please, and we'll be looking there for a minute tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 16. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll begin to look there. Verse 28. So Omri slept with his fathers, and he was buried in Samaria. And Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, the king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Talk about a reputation. We've got a president, the worst president, the biggest lying president that's ever lived in the history of America, already in office. Ahab was such a man that in the sight of the Lord he did evil above all that were before him. And it came to pass that as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, that he took the wife of Jezebel, the daughter of Ithbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and they went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, in which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof, and Abram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and the youngest of Segub, according to all the word of the Lord, which he had spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. In fact, the idea is over there in Joshua chapter number 6, when he pronounced that after they went around the walls of Jericho and the walls fell flat, cursed be anybody that raises this city back up. All right, our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. Meet every request according to thy word and according to thy will, and we'll thank you and praise you in advance for that. There may be somebody here tonight, Lord, that's on the verge of stepping forward, coming to Christ, repenting of their sins and trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior of their heart and life. We pray that it be so. Now we ask your blessings on these other requests that have been mentioned. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while, an old sermon that, some 14 years ago, that entitled, Religion, Ravens, and Rain. It's something whenever you look at this man of God by the name of Elijah. And whenever Elijah came on the scene, God raised him up. He didn't have a long sermon, but buddy, it was a pointed sermon. And he went and told Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain or be a dew anymore on the face of this earth according to my word, thus saith the Lord, and turned and walked off and left him. Now that's pretty bold to be able to see a wicked man like Ahab was. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that you'll find that when you look at Ahab and you look at Jezebel, you ever know anybody named Jezebel? I mean, I've known several Jezebels. They weren't going by that name, but I've known them. Yes, and let me say to you, nobody wants to be labeled with that. Like Judas. What kind of person would name a child Judas? Yes. See what I'm talking about? Get a lot of attention, but you'll probably end up with a bad way to go. I want to say to you that, if you will, what a bad testimony that he had. He did evil above all the other kings that was ever before him. I got to tell you, this was a man of idolatry. This was a man full of iniquity. This was a man that was indifferent to God. He just did not care what was right and wrong in the sight of the Lord. Now, we live in a world like that. People will lie on you and cheat on you and connive and all that business there. And you're never going to get... Somebody told me this one time when I first surrendered to preach. And they said, now I'm going to tell you, Dennis, there's going to be a lot of controversy up and down the road of life. I didn't know most of it was going to be with preachers and church people. But you can't stop and contend with every jackass that brays at you up and down the road of life. I'm glad that I know better, and I feel sorry that they never can or never will, and they just won't, but that's just the way that it is. Let me say to you that the Bible said that in this verse of Scripture there, they did more to to provoke the Lord God of glory to wrath than anybody else had ever done. Now, I'm going to tell you, you've got to be pretty sorry when you provoke God above anybody else. And notice, if you will, please, is that, if you will, in verse number 31 of this text, is that you'll find there was something about his walk about him. And you know where he walked? In the sins of Jeroboam. Now, you remember Jeroboam, don't you? Jeroboam took Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, took two of those tribes, was over them. And Jeroboam took 10 of them and was reigning over them. And Jeroboam was afraid of Rehoboam, Solomon's son, afraid he was going to kill him. And now, you've got to keep in mind that this is the first time there's been kings raised up since it was the United Kingdom. There was Saul, and there was David, and then there was Solomon. And now these two here, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, that have come on the scene. And so Jeroboam thinks he's going to be pretty sneaky and pretty conniving. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? It's too hard for you people of Israel to go up to Jerusalem. See, that's where Rehoboam was. I'm going to go ahead and make you a place to worship down here. And as a result of that, he decides is that he's going to take and he's going to make a place that the people of Israel, the people of God, they don't have to go up there unto the temple site, where God ordained it, by the way. But they might be able there in Bethel and Dan to come and worship two golden calves that he's put up. He looked like he was really going to help them. Now, that's the way Jeroboam was. In fact, is you'll find that God's condemning Ahab because Ahab and his old wife Jezebel. I wonder if you ever called her Jezzy. I don't know, but I guess we can ask the Lord when we get to heaven. Or if you die and go to hell, you can ask the devil. I don't know which one. In this lesson that you're looking at, Ahab got mixed up in all that idolatry. Here's what Jeroboam's doctrine was. He was a man that offered them convenience. You know, that's kind of like the Baptist church of the day we live in. We don't notice it so much here. I mean, I realize, you know, we may be few in number, but most of the time, you know, our folks are faithful. You're dedicated to God, the things of God. And you may have to get up and be somewhere else and out of pocket every now and again. But for the most part, you're always here, and whether it's convenient or not. Well, Jeroboam, he did what was convenient for him. And let me tell you right now is that in the Baptist church, they're notorious for having people that are in and out, more out than they are in. You know what it is, don't you? They're not just looking for a convenient time. They're just looking with a cold and calloused heart. In fact, is you'll find that there was Bethel and there was Dan and two golden calves. And what that constituted was, we got a choice for you. We're not just going to leave you out there on a limb. Got a choice for you to make. I want to say to you that people like that, in the day and hour we're living in among the religious world, they like to have some kind of a choice or not. That's the reason why so many people are dying religious, without hope, without God, going to hell, because they can't believe there's just one way to be able to get you to heaven. Never has been but one way. Never will be but one way. It's one way tonight. Will it be one way tomorrow? There's not another name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved, the Bible says. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, that Jeroboam, he had a doctrine of complacency that would satisfy self, that would make you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. You know what I was thinking about is that in the lesson that we're looking at, sin, the wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God's eternal life. The Bible said you and I were born in sin, born sinners, born without hope, without God. Sin will damn you and doom you to a devil's hell. But let me say to you that, if you will, that the message has always been, it is tonight, will be tomorrow. The message of God is turn or burn, one of the two. It's a very simplified thing, is it not? Come to Christ is the command that God gives, and you can be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. You better change your course of action. Now, here's what happened to Ahab. God sent Ahab a preacher. And as a result of that, whenever he got over there to him, is that he preached the message of God. But he said, I don't think I want to go that route and that route. And so what he did was, is that the message of God, he refused it. And he just continued on in his way and continued on in his walk. That's where he was, and that's what he was walking at. He didn't like the fact that Elijah and men like that would tell him, thus saith the Lord. Notice number two is, there's something about this man's wife. Now, she's the daughter of Ithbaal. And notice that, if you will, in the lesson that we're looking at, his walk, talking about Ahab, his walk was bad, but her walk was worse. And isn't that something that in the day and hour that we're living in, that we see all of those repercussions and things that took place in days gone by? The same person that refuses God back then refuses God in the day we live in, and the characteristics of it will all be the same. Now, here's she, her name's Jezebel, and there's a passage over in the book of Revelation. I'll let you turn there. Don't lose your text, by the way, but in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2, and about verse number 20, you'll find that she's a person of seduction. She's a person of heresy. She's a person of wickedness. And you'll find out that God gave her space to repent, but she repented not. Here's what she did. She becomes the very symbol of evil, identified with false religion. Look in chapter 2 of Revelation, verse number 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, he says to the church at Thyatira now. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, and teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I want to say to you that you can read the rest of it about what God's going to do to her. Well, let me tell you something. Ahab was a wicked man with a wicked walk, but he had a wife that was worse than that. Number three, back in our text, when you look in it, I want you to see something about his worship or their worship. Now, he liked the idea of being able to worship Baal. And so he built some kind of an altar and some kind of imagery and wanted to be able to worship him. See, Baal was a false god of rain gods and fertilities and stuff like that. Israel had already dibbled and dabbled in such a heresy. And as a result of that, you'll find is that Ahab was made officially as he was their king. The image of Baal is no doubt a big tool of theirs. And in 2 Kings, in chapter number 3, in about verse number 2, over there in the passages that we're looking at, 2 Kings, in about chapter number 3, in verse number 1 and 2. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab. See, people are going to come on the scene, and people are going to die off the scene. But Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And he reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father. I mean, how'd you like a testimony like that? I mean, you're wicked, mister, but you're not as wicked as your daddy was. And like his mother, he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam. He liked that convenience. He liked that complacency. He liked that being cold and callous. He kept on, and the Bible said, the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, made Israel to sin and departed not from thereof. Now, in closing, we're going to get over there in the book of Daniel. Because as we begin to look there in the book of Daniel, we find out there was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember him? He was the king of Babylon, going to be in world dominance, and God gave him such a power and such a privilege. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, that kings come and go, they rise, they fall, they're born, they die. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, by the time we get to chapter number 5 in the book of Daniel, his son by the name of Belshazzar is the king, making a feast. You remember he's the one that we preach about a whole lot and this and that. And he's the one who saw the handwriting on the wall. And let me say to you that while the handwriting was on the wall, it was no doubt a doom against him. All of his astrology men, all of his religious men, they could not read the handwriting that was on the wall. So he calls a man that's in jail or in prison there because he's a holy man and they didn't like what he was preaching. And here's a man by the name of Daniel. And over in chapter number 5 and verse number 17, he's being offered, Daniel's being offered a great sum and a position, if he said, if you'll read it. And Daniel says, I'm not a hireling. Go ahead and keep your money and your stuff to yourself. And I'll go ahead and read it for you anyway. Then in verse 18, let's take up reading there. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him, whom that he would he slew, and whom that he would he kept alive, and whom that he would he set up, and whom that he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kindly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast that dwelleth with the wild asses, and they fed him the grass like an oxen. And his body was yet wet with dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whom that soever that he will. Now, verse 22 and 3, here's the real clincher. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all of this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and wives and concubines have drunk wine in them, and hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and God in whose thine hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Boy, that had to be a real cutting to the soul message there. He tells him all that his daddy had done, and tells him all that you knew and saw the hand of God, and yet you turned from it, and though thou knewest all of this, you've lifted up yourself against the word of the Lord in pride. Now, I want to tell you, that's a whole lot like in the day and hour we live in. We see somebody, you know, it's in a dire need, and we pray as earnestly and honestly as we know how to. Closer the home that it is, the hurt is, the more holy we become and the more earnest that, if you will, please, as we try to present our petition unto the Lord. And then seemingly after we're out of the woods or out of trouble, God never hears from us again till we need something else. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, God knew exactly how to bring old Belshazzar to the place to where that he might be able to call upon God and know what God was trying to say, and he just was not able to read the handwriting that was upon the wall. I got to tell you something. Pride will do that to you. In closing here tonight, let me just tell you something, is that we've been talking about it. We've mentioned it and quoted it a time or two. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and 21, the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. I don't know about you, but Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. He established the church. He's adding to the church. He's coming back again for the church of the living God. And I don't care where you've been, how far down in the gutter that you've been, how heavy your sins may be upon you, you can lay them at his feet, and he'll wash you and make you white like snow and white like wool. And I'll tell you about right now, it's a whole lot easier to be yoked up with him and let him carry the load than it is to try to take care of it yourself. I've seen people, you know, they tell me, oh, I'll preach. I say, well, listen, if you die today, would you go to heaven? No. No, but I'm working on it. Well, you're going to work your way to hell. You're going to have to come to somebody that's able to save your soul from the guttermost all the way to the uttermost, and that's out of the hands and heart of men. You can be washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved, saved, saved. I wonder why we stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you. Go with us to our home. Help us, I pray. Bring us back again safely that we might be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for having heard and answered prayer. And dear God, we pray that you'd hear our prayer as we lift our voice and our heart and our soul unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.